Thank you for listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev.
Let's go in the community, brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross, Alberta's leading benefit provider. Get an affordable group benefit plan for your business by calling Alberta Blue Cross today. Paul Sir joins us every week, talks some basketball. We're going to get to the NBA and Kyle Lowry in a second. But, Paul, I want to start out with the All-Star Games for the Metro Basketball Leagues last night. How'd they go?
Went really well, Jason. We didn't know what to expect because we were resurrecting something that was discontinued about 4 or 5 years ago. But Harry Ainlay was packed for the girls' game. Got started at 5:30, and there were one set of bleachers were pulled out. They were completely full, and there were people standing around. They pulled the other set of bleachers out, and by the time the guys' game got started, they were full. And so it was wonderfully attended. Kids, both the girls and the guys, played their hearts out. Some great performances. A couple of kids were out of their minds, hitting everything, and their friends and the crowd was going crazy. It was just a great atmosphere.
So it sounds like it went very well. You resurrected this after a few years off, Paul. You guys are going to bring this back for 2018 already next year?
Absolutely. We're going to try to do it bigger and better. Try to include the Tier 2 and Tier 3 teams in some way next year so that they get some recognition for their efforts. And it was just a lot of fun. And I know there were many players that came up and thanked me for getting it going. And of course, when I say thank me, it's Jordan Baker who thought of this and Basketball Alberta who promoted it. But yeah, we'll be back next year and hopefully it'll be bigger and better.
Paul, if you're a Toronto Raptors fan, even the most optimistic of Raptor fans could not have predicted what Kyle Lowry did last night. 27 points, 10 assists. They defeat the Pistons 105-102. The Raptors are in a pretty good position as we approach the postseason, aren't they?
What a great start. You always wonder how players are going to come off an injury, and boy, Kyle passed in flying colors, and the Raptors are better for it. So you're right, Mark. They're in great shape going into the playoffs now. Finally, after the All-Star game, it's funny to think that's the first game that Kyle had with the new acquisitions in PJ Tucker and Serge Ibaka. So now we finally have the full Raptors roster on the court. Kyle passed in flying colors, like I said. Now, he's going to have ups and downs because he is coming back, but they're at full strength with playoffs just around the corner.
Paul Sir joins us from Basketball Alberta, of course, a former professional pro player in Europe, and now, of course, host of the Basketball Hour here on TSN 1260 every Saturday. And Lowry came back, Paul, and was a guy like a lot of players. You get by an emotion that first game, and he definitely seems to add a different dimension to the Raptors team. And it was only one game, so it's probably too early. But when you look at Ibaka and Tucker and the whole group now that it's back together, what do you see being the ultimate starting five for the Raptors, and who is the most important guy coming off the bench?
Well, I think the starting five, most likely, if I look at how Casey typically starts teams, he likes to have good players coming off the bench. So I think he's going to go with Lowry, Carroll, DeRozan, Ibaka, and Valanciunas, and then bring Tucker and Corey Joseph off the bench. So I think that's the way he'll go, although I would not be surprised, Jason, if at some point in the not-too-distant future he doesn't just put PJ Tucker in the starting lineup so that he gets after people physically right away. He adds such a physical element to it. But that's an intriguing lineup. To have Ibaka now with Lowry and DeRozan, to have another scoring option, which when you think about it, the four spot up to when they acquired Ibaka, there was not much production coming out of that. And now, on a given night, Ibaka can give you 24 like he did two games ago. So this guy, this lineup is intriguing. I am very excited to see how they come together and how quickly they can come together when playoffs come, because I think they can do some real damage in the East.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on the Eastern Conference as we're joined by Paul Sir from Basketball Alberta, Mark Mageau, Jason Greger with you. The Cavaliers won a pretty exciting game last night against Boston, but a lot's been made about the Cavaliers' struggles on the defensive end. If you're Boston, Toronto, or Washington, are you not looking at the Cavaliers saying, hey, this might be the year where LeBron's maybe on fumes that we might be able to sneak past the Cavs?
You know, last night it looked like the old LeBron, so maybe, and you're right, Mark, but maybe and maybe not. I have this feeling LeBron is going to turn it, dial things up a bit when he gets to the playoffs. However, to your point, I do think this Cavaliers team to this point has not been nearly as cohesive and impressive as they were a year ago. You're right. LeBron looks a bit tired. He's also 32. So at some point, his game has to waver a bit, and this might be the year. If I'm the Raptors, I'm excited, particularly if the Cavs end up finishing first and the Raptors end up finishing third. You're not going to see them until the Eastern Conference Finals if you're fortunate enough to get there. But I think if this Raptors team gels, they have the talent to be a legitimate threat to Cleveland this year. So let's just hope they don't go out in the first round 4-0 like they did to Washington 2 years ago.
That's a valid point. What do you make of Boston? And as a guy who played and has coached, in hockey, we see a lot of coaches in the regular season like certain matchups, but come playoff time in a series, man, they do everything in their power to get the best matchups that they want. Basketball is 5-on-5. You know, there's no changing on the fly or nothing, so it's not like you can just magically get away from certain matchups unless you go big or small when they substitute. But if you were defending Boston and you've got Isaiah Thomas, who's clearly their best player by quite a bit, is there a concern for Celtic fans that a team could really negate him or contain him much more in the postseason than they are doing right now in the regular season?
It's a great question. Two schools of thought, and I'll use an old Boston player as the point of reference. When Bill Russell used to play against Wilt Chamberlain, Russell was a phenomenal defensive player, but he couldn't stop Wilt Chamberlain. So what he did was tell the rest of his team not to worry about double-teaming Wilt. Wilt was going to get his. Just don't let him get the assists. And I think that is a valid defensive strategy with Isaiah Thomas. Play him tough one-on-one. He's a clever scorer. One thing, though, he's 5'8". At some point, you're going to have advantages over him, particularly if you have a longer defender on him. So let Isaiah get his. Just don't let him get 10 assists. So I think that's a valid way. The other way is to put somebody like Damari Carroll, who is a longer defender like I was referring to, but he's pretty good against a player like Isaiah because he, with his length, Isaiah's not going to overpower him physically, where a guy like P.J. Tucker just couldn't keep up with Isaiah's quickness. So, you know, you've got that two ways of approaching it, but I think in the end, let Isaiah get 30 or 35, just make sure the other guys who I don't think are at his level as scorers, just don't let them get 25. And I think the Raptors, I think the Raptors are better than the Celtics myself.
Paul, just looking at the MVP race, I'm not going to ask you for your MVP because like me, it probably changes from week to week, but there's four candidates that are in it. How surprised are you that the man who won the unanimous MVP last year in Steph Curry, who's still having a fine season, but he is not even in the conversation for most valuable player this year. How surprised are you about that?
Not surprised this year because of the addition of Durant, Mark, to their team. And the fact that you had Durant actually having a better season than Steph did. Durant was probably having his best overall season in scoring, efficiency, defensively, rebounding that he's ever had. So it's amazing to think the unanimous MVP through a signing had someone better on his team this year. I think, like you said, he's having a great season. Plus, I think he struggled with the adjustment to Durant being in the lineup, and he went through some real ups and downs. We haven't seen Steph Curry be that inconsistent in stretches this year like he was this year compared in the past two unbelievable seasons that he had. So I just think it's just one of those things. He's had a great year. The Warriors are clearly the best team. They're getting Durant back. They're the odds-on favorite to win the NBA title. This just wasn't Steph's year. And by the way, there's James Harden almost averaging a triple-double. And the next triple-double, if Westbrook is fortunate enough to get it, he'll break Oscar Robertson's record from 1961. There's just some guys having unreal seasons this year, and it's their time.
To me, Paul, you break a record of 55 years. That's that good of a record. You deserve the MVP. To me, it's hard to vote against Westbrook.
Same here. Same here, Jason. I couldn't agree with you more. Like, how do you vote against that? Like, get the analytics out of there. What the guy's done is ridiculous. And you just have to say that's the best player in the league this year, clearly. He does it every night. The guy goes 100 miles an hour every minute, every night, and he's producing huge results. And his team's winning, and without him, they'd be 15 or 20 games under 500. Just give him the MVP.
Paul, I agree with you, man. I look forward to it as we get down the playoff stretch drive and into the NBA playoffs. Thanks, as always.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Mark.